Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Bob Murray, who's the chief economist with Dodge Data and Analytics. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Like I just mentioned, there's been a name change. I used to say you were the chief economist with McGraw-Hill. Tell us what happened there.
Well, on November 1st, we became Dodge Data and Analytics. McGraw-Hill Financial sold us to a private equity firm, Symphony Technology Group.
Well, I always like to talk to you this time of year. Every year you publish a report, and it's called Outlook and then the next year. So this is Outlook 2015. Most people know that it's the Dodge Construction Report, and it looks at construction starts, and it looks in all the vertical sectors. Just give us a top line, if you would, on what 2015 is looking like.
Our basic picture for 2015 is that we're looking for a broadening of the construction expansion. And specifically, I'm really focusing on non-residential building. To this point, we have been seeing a pickup for commercial building, but there really hasn't been much of a contribution coming from the institutional building types, such as schools or convention centers. But what we've been seeing as 2014 has progressed is the signs of an upturn for educational building after a lengthy five-year decline. And this should enable the overall non-residential building upturn to certainly get broader participation and in turn become more resilient.
I want to get into these numbers, but first, my premise is correct. We're not catching any remodeling work in this. This is all new construction, right?
Well, I think there's some qualifications there. In our data, we do pick up major alteration work.
Okay.
So basically, if we're talking about a project that's $200,000 or greater, it would be picked up in our data. If somebody, let's say, just repaint the inside of an office building, that may not show up, but a major alteration project would show up.
Okay.
For example, one of the projects that we entered as a construction start in 2014 was $100 million for the fit-out, the office for Condé Nast at the One World Trade Center in New York.
But that's a new building, right?
Well, that is a new building, but we had entered the World Trade Center project itself as a construction start several years ago.
I see.
When the foundation was being started at that
okay.
point.
I got you.
But this was a fit-out for a specific tenant.
All right. Well, listen, I spent some time poring over this yesterday, and it looks like you're calling for 9% growth in U.S. construction starts to about $612 billion, right?
That is correct.
One of the things I'd like to point out is that about this time last year, we were all feeling about this good, maybe not quite as good, because 2013 had been a very strong year. And as we looked at this outlook 2014, you were calling for 9% growth there, but that never materialized. Talk about what happened there.
The big difference in terms of what was being forecast and what has transpired over the course of 2014 is the fact that the single-family housing market has stalled. We were looking at an increase, you know, somewhere else in the order of 15 to 20% last year, like most economists. But what we've been seeing in 2014 is that single-family housing has essentially lost some of its upward momentum, which we ascribe to the fact that first-time homebuyers are facing still a considerable amount of difficulty in qualifying for a mortgage. So essentially, we lost the investor demand for the single family market, and given tight lending standards, the demand has just not been there to contribute to a further increase for single family housing in 2014.
Right. By the way, I need to say, I mean, you can get this report. It's a great report. And you spend several pages talking about this whole residential market. And one of the things you're calling for is a little bit of loosening around some of these lending restrictions, and you're actually calling for, what's your residential call for single-family housing?
Well, in dollar terms, we are looking for single-family housing to be up 15% in dollars, mm-hmm. which corresponds to an 11% increase in units.
Yeah, and this current year, it was only up 4%.
Well, the dollars would be up 4%, and the increase for units would be a 1% gain.
Okay, so you're calling for a better year next year in housing.
I guess the caveat would be, you know, most forecasters, when they're looking for the potential for single-family housing, would be looking at increases on the order of 25 to 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And that is some other forecasts that are out there. But what you do need, though, is the potential home buyers that have the wherewithal to actually make the purchase. And we think that the improvement in lending standards will be taking place only gradually, hence what we would consider to be a modest to maybe slightly moderate increase for single-family housing at 11% in 2015.
And you go on to explain that part of the problems are these millennials, the household formations. You go through all that. It's really good dialogue. Let's move on to the non-residential, or what we call in our business the commercial building market. Things there are looking really good. I mean, office buildings, you're calling for, you know, on a square footage percentage increase of 18% in office.
Yeah, the office market really has assumed the leading role in moving the commercial building sector upward. Of course, you know, commercial building was hit extremely hard in 2009 and going into 2010. And initially, the pickup that we saw in commercial building was pretty much just warehouses and hotels. But over the past year or so, we have seen greater activity taking place for office construction, including some major headquarters projects, such as the new Apple headquarters in Cupertino, California. That, you know, given what we're seeing in terms of market fundamentals, meaning office vacancy rates and also, you know, rent increases that are pertaining to office properties, you know, we see more money now being directed towards the office sector, which should help it be, you know, further increases going forward.
Yeah, you know, with the way we divide floor covering and the size of some of these markets, that office market is the biggest market. So for it to be going up like that, it's big news. And another thing you're talking about in here is hotels and motels, which have been strong, you say is going to continue to be strong, right?
Yeah, you know, we're looking at still, you know, further gains. I guess the key with the hotel market is, you know, we are looking at further improvement in the statistic revenue per available room. And with positive market fundamentals, that certainly increases the incentive to go ahead with more construction projects. And we've seen several large projects that have started this year, such as a convention center hotel in Cleveland, which is a fairly large project. And we don't really see anything dampening that upward momentum in the near term.
Yeah, and you started at the beginning of this interview, you were talking about education. You're talking about a 9% expansion there, right?
Right. And again, though, this is coming from very, very low levels. I think the important elements that we've seen in terms of the educational building market is that we are seeing moderate increases for K through 12 schools and also some pickup for college and university construction. I think one of the pluses for this market in recent years has been the passage of major bond measures around the country. And certainly that continued in the most recent November elections, where particularly in the state of Texas, we had several major bond measures for school construction achieve passage. And that should provide certainly the money for further increases in school construction going forward.
Yeah, well, I like the detail you give in this report, because you talk about the last several years in education, K through 12, it's been more on the elementary side, and now we're starting to see the spend on the junior high and high school side, aren't we?
I think it is kind of a broad-based pickup, but I mean, certainly we are seeing more examples of fairly expensive high schools reach the groundbreaking stage. I mean, that being said, I think we do have to keep this in somewhat of perspective in terms of the level of square footage for educational building in 2013 was only 110 million square feet. And if you take it back to its most recent peak, let's say in 2008, we were looking at 230 million square feet. So in our forecast for 2014 is 117 million square feet and then 127 million square feet in 2015. This is a market which by dollar volume is quite large. I'm talking about the educational building total now. But, you know, just given the money that is being directed towards this market, it does look like it's beginning what could be a fairly long upward trend.
If you look at the chart you show early in this report, I mean, 2009, $426 billion was spent, and you're calling for 15 for there to be $612 billion. So that's a sizable change in the investments being made, isn't it?
And that's for total construction starts. That is correct.
Just one more quick point. Any economist who gives a report always has to give some of a premise. And some of the things you point out in this thing, just to run real quickly through them, is you're looking for GDP growth for the year next year to be around 3.3%. You're talking about unemployment staying under 6%. You're saying inflation is going to be stable, somewhat subdued at 2.1%. And household formations, as I mentioned earlier, you're talking for that to start heading back to a healthier pace, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay, Bob, it's great to talk to you. Again, been talking to Bob Murray, who's the chief economist with Dodge Data and Analytics, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloridaDaily.net.